Veterans Day parades and ceremonies are being held across the country today. This one at Arlington National Cemetery, where Vice President Joe Biden laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns.
Beautiful, beautiful autumn day. The sun is shining, the skies are clear, the temperature is perfect. Nothing like the scorching heat, the bitter cold, and intense storms that confronted many of you here today and our troops through every conflict in every age.
Well, the Navy Memorial is also hosting a Veterans Day service, and at their event, they recognize Navy SEALs. The SEALs are in the news. A member of the Special Forces unit which conducted the raid on Osama bin Laden's compound in Pakistan is claiming credit for shooting him. He's going to be on our program on Friday. But on that mission, SEALs landed in a high-tech helicopter wearing night vision goggles. That's a far cry from the equipment the first Navy SEALs had during World War II. Back then, they'd land on beaches in two-man motorized rafts called flying mattresses. Patrick O'Donnell traces the history in his new book, First SEALs, The Untold Story of the Forging of America's Most Elite Unit. He met up with Here Now's Alex Ashlock at Camp Pendleton recently and told him that the first SEALs were part of what was called the Maritime Unit. And the man tasked with forming that unit was World War I Medal of Honor recipient William Wild Bill Donovan. He led the nation's fledgling intelligence agency, the Office of Strategic Services.
You know, he sees the need for special operations teams. He sees the need for combining intelligence and special operations, psychological operations, and sort of integrating all of this into one package. And what he does is it's quite extraordinary. This is a book about a small group of individuals that are able to make a difference. They don't have the technology at the time.
Right, they don't really have anything that's like scuba diving equipment, really.
None. There is no scuba diving equipment, effectively. And where do they find it, though? They develop it themselves, but they find a young medical student from the University of Pennsylvania, Christian Lambertson, who has to basically lie about where he's going. And he misses classes, etc., but goes to Washington, D.C., and they start to test the first scuba gear. Effectively, it's called a rebreather. And in the Shoreham Pool in Washington, D.C., that's where they start to develop this stuff. And it begins from there.
You said it's a book of characters, and let's talk about a couple of them, one of which I had no idea had a military background. That's the actor Sterling Hayden. Tell me about how he fits into this picture.
This book is filled with colorful characters that are made for Hollywood film. And in fact, this is one that was a Hollywood film actor, Sterling Hayden, who's, you know, people know him in his roles in The Godfather, as well as in Doctor Strangelove. As General Jack Ripper. But What's amazing about Sterling Hayden is he's the real deal. I mean, this guy has done it all. I mean, he's navigated boats, and he sort of gets in the thick of things. He meets Jack Taylor, who's another extraordinary character, who's this Hollywood dentist from that is also a worldwide adventurer, kind of a man that's sailed boats halfway around the world, pilots his own planes, even dug his way out of a gold mine in the Yukon after he was buried alive. They team up in Alexandria. This is where the OSS has their sort of first maritime unit base, and they can start to conduct missions. And the missions are, for instance, they're arming the partisans, Yugoslav partisans, in where Tito has a need for supplies, and they're running. There are huge warehouses of supplies that are captured that were Italian, and they're distributing the supplies. But this isn't some sort of ferrying operation. The waters are infested with German patrol craft, aircraft, etc. But I think one of the most extraordinary missions is they have to get over 25 nurses that had crash landed in Albania out somehow. And they, you know, they use this boat called the Yankee, which is an old fishing boat that they camouflage, and they They put a 50 caliber machine gun and some other armaments on it, and they infiltrate into Albania. A gentleman that I interviewed, a guy by the name of Lloyd Smith, who is this unassuming accountant from McLean, Virginia, after the war. And he's going into Albania, which is an insurgency. It's a civil war. It's infested with the Germans. It's completely occupied. And somehow Lloyd Smith has to traverse hundreds of miles in mountains, avoid German patrols, and bring the nurses out. And does exactly that.
You mentioned Jack Taylor. He ends up behind enemy lines as well, and he's captured, and he goes to a concentration camp, or he's sent to a concentration camp in Austria that I don't even really think I'd ever heard of before. Tell me about what happened to him.
This is one of those, I think, probably one of the most extraordinary parts of the book. It's about an American who somehow survives Mauthausen concentration camp, and Mauthausen was one of the most deadly camps in the Third Reich. It was a work camp, but it was extremely brutal. For instance, they had a quarry. They would make the inmates who were starving to death walk large stones up and down the steps. And to torment these individuals, they actually would, torture them and beat them on the way. And if somebody fell down or was too exhausted to continue, they were thrown off the side in an activity that the Germans sadistically called paratrooper. And they would, the individual usually died. Sometimes if they didn't, they would throw them off again.
So Jack Taylor survives his experience at Mauthausen in part because, as you describe him, he's going to be the messenger of what happened there.
Through his entire captivity, he's gathering evidence for a war crimes trial that he knows is going to take place. And several of the inmates conspired to also save his life. There are clerks that work with the SS that are inmates that prepare a death list every day, and Jack is taken off of it. He's forced to build the crematorium. The SS is constantly, armed guards are there watching over it. And he was supposed to be executed the day after he was liberated. It was that close. And an armor division or armor unit crashes through the gates of Mauthausen and liberates him. And strikingly, there's a Signal Corps film crew there. And if you Google Jack Taylor plus Mauthausen, you can see this grainy film which captures that liberation. He comes up to the gate with his fist clenched with his dog tags in hand, and he goes, "God bless America."
Patrick O'Donnell, his book is First Seals, The Untold Story of the Forging of America's Most Elite Unit. He spoke with Here Now's Alex Ashlock at Camp Pendleton outside San Diego, where the first Navy SEALs once trained.